Good morning. Let's turn to Psalm 98. Psalm 98, a psalm. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done wonderful things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained the victory for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his loving kindness and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth and sing for joy and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Shout joyfully before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. Amen. Psalm 98, interesting enough, is the only psalm that has a title that just simply says a psalm, which, you know, seemed to be quite obvious. It's a psalm, but, you know, kind of an interesting tidbit there. Psalm 98, if you look at Luke chapter 1 and Mary's song, what they call the Magnificat, actually, you'll see a lot of similarities here. And so most likely Mary was alluding or was inspired by Psalm 98. And thus, when she wrote and sang her song, there's a lot of glimpses here. It's not word for word, but you can pick out certain phrases and ideas. So she seemed to be quite inspired by Psalm 98. Now, when we put those two things together, we recognize that this psalm is really, or I should say, Mary recognized through revelation that this psalm was messianic in a way. And so we can read it with that lens, that it's talking about a future occurrence that's happening, primarily salvation, obviously, which is going to come from the Lord Jesus Christ. And so let's just go through the psalm. So sing to the Lord a new song. This is important. Not that old songs are bad or not celebrated, but there's something about singing a new song, singing a fresh song. And most likely in this way is not, it's not really about, so there's a lot of different worship artists. We as a church never really sang this song before. That's not necessarily the new song that they're talking about. It's more an idea of a spontaneous song. It's a song that comes out of our heart that's really never been uttered before in a certain way. And so we sing them a new song because, I mean, the reality is the Bible tells us that his mercies are new every morning. And so with that in mind, with the different things, the new things, the variety of things that God does, it offers us an opportunity to sing to him a new song, a spontaneous song, a song that flows from the heart. And I don't want to get, it doesn't just mean spontaneous, right? I mean, any song that's new is fulfills this picture. But it's just the idea. And why do we do that? Because he has done wonderful things. That's just the reality, because he's just a good God. You know, he deserves new songs. He deserves spontaneous praise. He deserves an overflowing of gratitude from our hearts that begins to manifest itself in worship, in new songs. Why? Because his right hand and his holy arm have gained the victory for him. You know, or the better translation is has accomplished salvation. So his right hand, okay. So his right hand and his holy arm, and so you can see this kind of depiction. You know, when someone gives you their hand, right? It's more intimate. It's a little closer. And so you had this idea that there's his right hand, which is, you know, a little softer, more intimate. You know, the scripture says that no one can snatch you out of the Father's hand. And so there's a grip that's happening there. So you can think of something like very personal in that way. And so there's his right hand, and right better than left. Right hand has a lot of meaning, especially during this time. The person of his right hand is his most trusted person. You know, we also use this terminology as well, or these idioms. And so, again, personable, there's trust, there's a gentleness of the hand. And so that's there, but also it's his arm, his holy arm. And this is obviously, when we think of the arm, we think of power, we think of strength, muscles, those type of things. And so it's this kind of beautiful imagery of these two things coming together, the power of his arms, the strength of his arms, and then the gentleness of his hand, the grace, the graciousness of his hand over us. And so his right hand, his trust, his gentleness, and his holy arm, his power, his divinity, his majesty, all those things. And they have gained the victory, or they've accomplished salvation for us. And verse 2, and this is where Mary really gets a lot of this inspiration. The Lord has made known his salvation. When the angel, when Gabriel came to Mary, she recognized, oh, this is the salvation of the Lord. I forgot her name, that sat at the gate. And when Jesus was presented as a baby, and also, the other man, the older man, they have both said the same thing. The salvation, has come to Israel. The consolation of Israel is here, and those type of things. And so that same idea that when Jesus Christ was revealed, the Lord, right, he made known his salvation. And so we can with pretty strong assurance recognize that this is messianic. This is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations, that the whole world recognizes, right, that this is righteousness has come from him. He has remembered, verse 3, his loving kindness and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. Now, this is an important point, because to this day, God has not given up on Israel. Israel is still the apple of God's eye. There is a teaching that begin to circulate, and I would say it's an error. It's a biblical error. And there's a teaching that circulated in the church it's a while back, and you may have heard the name of it. It's called replacement theology. And basically the idea is that the church, that's us, we've replaced Israel in the affections of God. So in other words, God gave Israel a lot of opportunity, gave Israel a lot of chances. Israel just blew it. They didn't do what they were supposed to do. In fact, they killed Jesus, and there's all this idea. And so basically, God has moved. He shifted. His affections were for Israel, and then he shifts, and he says, okay, now my affections are with the church. And so the church replaced Israel in the affections of God. Well, that's just not biblical. There's too many passages like this. The beauty is actually the Romans, when Paul goes at lengths talking about the relationship between Israel and the church, and that we are grafted in. We have not replaced Israel. We're grafted in. And right now, we haven't really participated in it, but though I am praying alongside. But right now, there's a huge push. There's Mike Bickle, IHOP, did a 40-day fasting season for Israel. It's going on right now. It's global. It's a pretty big thing. I've been following it here and there. And so so this is really dealing and talking about those type of things, right? He has remembered his loving kindness and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. Right, that's not going to change. It doesn't mean that God's affections are not for the church. doesn't, I mean, really, it doesn't mean that at all. All it simply means is they're both connected, right? They're both totally connected with each other. God's affections are still with Israel, and God's affections are also with the church. I mean, why does it have to be one or the other? I don't want to use the term anti-Semitic, but it could be a little bit in that way. And by the way, just alongside that thought, we have to recognize that the church, for many, many parts of its history, have been anti-Semitic. And so we as a church bear responsibility for our attitudes towards Israel. When we go to Israel, I make sure that everyone that comes on the trip reads this book. Actually, two books. And one of the books is a book by Dr. Michael Brown, and says, our hands are stained with blood. And it's just talking about the role of the church in terms of its negative views towards Israel. And when I first read it, I was shocked. I didn't realize that as a church, we were so bad. The Jews were also bad, okay, towards the church. But, you know, that's just another commentary. But just to understand this, okay? And he says, and all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Obviously, again, pointing to Christ. So the response, so shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. This is everyone involved in this. Break forth and sing for joy and sing praises. Again, this connection of worship and joy. How these two things are really bound together with one another. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre, the sound of melody, trumpets, the sound of the horn. Shout joyfully before the King, our Lord. And this is where instruments come into play. You know, there are certain denominations around that actually don't use any instruments. And their reasoning is that there's no mention of instruments in the New Testament in terms of its worship to God, which is really a lame argument to make. But they literally, you come to church and everything is a cappella, which is, you know, kind of strange, because the mandate of God is to use instruments. And there's this idea, you know, some scholars say that it's not only using the instruments, but the instruments itself worship God. It's just the idea of things created to worship the Lord will worship the Lord. And that's a pretty important statement, because that's primarily why we were created, right? So our design of creation were to be the worshipers of God. This is like the pinnacle of creation in that way. And so the music is an important part. And so worship happens, but also the instruments itself will worship the Lord. And so then let the sea roar and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. The rivers clap their hands. The mountains sing together for joy. So this is the fullness of all of creation coming together. You have the sea, you have the land, you have the rivers, you have the mountains. And encapsulating all that, you also have the people. And so we're all a part of this beautiful creation of God, that everything, the mountains, the seas, the rivers, the land, the people, we all utter our worship to God. And that's primarily the fullness, or the total fulfillment. It's happening in ways and happening in parts now, but the fullness and total revelation of that and fulfillment of that will be in heaven. That's why Romans, Paul in chapter 8 says that all creation groans. And when, you know, for the appearance of the sons of God. And so what happens is that when we come into this place and we do what we're supposed to do, what we were created for is to worship the Lord. And when we are really operating in that way, there's basically this peace and this calm and this order that begins to flow through creation. I'll give you an example. If you've ever read any of C.S. Lewis's work, or if you've watched the movies, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, if you remember this series. In The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, remember, Aslan is Christ. That he's the type of Christ. And because man is not, you know, in that right relationship with Aslan, as a result of that, all of creation is under the heavy hand of the Queen of the North. Do you guys remember the story, or at least watch the movie? And then what happens? And then when people start, right, that right relationship with Aslan happens, and then all creation. And so it's like it's cold, it's winter, nothing's growing. And then when Aslan comes on the scene and the people rightly start worshiping him, what happens? Everything starts melting, and then flowers start blooming, the trees, you know, the foliage starts happening. And Lewis was very intent in writing it that way because that's what he felt like Romans 8 was talking about, what the scriptures are talking about. And so when we begin to move in our prophetic destiny as the worshipers of God, it has an effect on creation. And there's bloom, and there's flowers, and animals, and you know, all these beautiful things start happening. And you can catch it as you read the scriptures. There's always a connection between man and the land. It always runs together. There's something supernatural and significant about the man and the land. And that's why it was important that Israel gets its land. Talking about Old Testament, there's just something beautiful that happens together in that space. And so, when we get into that place of created order, all of creation also comes alongside. That's why it says they're groaning, that they're waiting, anxiously waiting for the appearance of the sons of God. And when we step into our rightful place, and before the Lord, the last verse, before the Lord, He is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. Again, I know this seems like these themes keep repeating itself over again. That's why they're categorized this way. And in ancient times, no way could you be assured of any justice. In ancient times, actually, injustice was the norm. And what a reason to celebrate that He will judge the world with righteousness. First of all, He is coming to judge the earth. And He's going to come, and He's going to come with righteousness, and He's going to come with equity for the people. In ancient times, if you were rich, if you were powerful, if you were political, you probably got injustice, but got it in the other side, right, where you took advantage of people, and the poor, the marginalized, you know, like the regular people, there was no justice for them, and so what a relief that He's coming to judge the earth, and He will judge the world with righteousness, and the peoples with equity. You can imagine when people heard this, especially a subjugated nation like Israel. You can imagine the worship that flowed out of them, right? There will be justice on the earth because the King is coming. So let's close our eyes. Sing to the Lord a new song. Encapsulated in that idea is a deep reflection of the new things, the wonderful things that God has done for us. We can sing to Him a new song because we are experiencing new things of God. God is doing new and different things in our lives. So it's very contemporary, like it's happening right now. And so we utter Him a new song. And in a lot of ways, it's not necessarily waiting for a new experience, but it's being reminded of the deep faithfulness of God and is focusing on that, and out of that place, a new song begins to arise in our hearts. And so this morning, let's meditate on the goodness of God, and let's utter Him a new song.
My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like You. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of Your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter,
remember, right, the good things that God has done. And let's remember His goodness. And let's respond. Let's sing to Him a new song, a fresh song, something that flows from our hearts. And let's go before the Lord this morning. Thank you. Let's go to our community prayers. Let's pray for our community that's battling through cancer. Let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that are battling through illness but also needs to meet with Jesus. And let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for the word of salvation. Let's pray for our community dealing with a non-cancer related illness, and let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for open doors and God's provision. Let's go to our prayers for Hong Kong. Let's just continue to lift up our city. Pray for the healthcare system. Pray for the government. Ask that they would rule righteously and with wisdom. Let's continue to pray against the wealth gap. And let's cry for revival in the city. Pray for churches all over. Let's lift up our friends, sports services, Shanty, YWAM, God Catering, S&D, Mother's Choice. Pray for the Korean church. Pray for students, domestic helpers, and families in distress. And let's lift up our city. Let's lift up our staff. Let's ask God's hand to be with us, especially those that are sick. I know Monica's not feeling well. My wife Lisa's not feeling well. Tim is recovering from illness. Peanut's whole family, all the kids are sick right now. Let's also remember Pastor Salamat and Mimi, who are on their sabbatical. Let's just continue to lift them up. Let's just pray for our staff. Let's pray everyone would be healthy. Pray over our education department. Let's pray for the SP kids, the SP youth, and SPU. Let's pray for our leaders ministering. Let's pray for our volunteers, and especially let's pray for our young ones. Let's pray that God would grab their heart and they would be passionate worshipers of Jesus. Let's pray for worship, the sound, and the AV teams. Let's pray for our musicians, our singers, our leaders, our technicians. Let's pray that we would offer him a new song, fresh, that flows, that's really the overflow of our hearts. So let's lift up. Let's pray for our pregnant ladies. So let's pray for the babies in the womb, that they would be well. Let's pray for just the hand of God over each one of them and their families. Let's pray for house church tonight. Let's ask God's hand upon our leaders. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to lead. Let's pray that in response to the message on Sunday, that many would come and experience God's graciousness through the gift of tongues. Let's lift up. Let's pray. Father, thank you, God. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your righteousness, God. And thank you that you revealed your salvation, God, through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, that gives us reason to praise. That gives us reason to shout for joy. That gives us reason, God, to offer you a new song. Lord, because your mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And so help us as a church to be a grateful church, God, to be a worshiping church, a prayerful church, God, a church that offers you new songs because you're always doing new things amongst us. And so we thank you, Lord. We love you. Watch over us today. Help us to give you glory in all that we do and say. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow.